This is a listener-sponsored community radio station providing you a Pacifica state of mind since 1960. The previous program was The Gary Knowles Show, heard Monday through Friday at noon. I was going to say midnight. Noon, Monday through Friday at noon. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind coming up at 1 p.m., followed by On Air with the Blacks, featuring the illustrious Blacks at 2 p.m. 3 p.m. is Sojourner Truth with Margaret Prescott, and 4 p.m. is Letters and Politics with Mitch Jezrich. And once again, I wanted to share information with you about this upcoming event that's happening at the Apollo Theater, and I just want to get this information up once again. Let's see if I can find this information here. I should have come better prepared. Okay, so once again, Saturday, September 30th, Uptown Hall Movement Choir, and the guest and the moderators is both Imhotep Gary Bird and Solomon Jones, and the admission is free, but you have to RSVP at apollotheater.org. Once again, you RSVP at apollotheater.org. The tickets are moving fast, so it is best for you to get on it much sooner than later. So if you want to experience this thing, please, by all means, go to apollotheater.org and reserve your seat right now. When they're gone, they're gone. And it also will feature the illustrious Blacks performing as well, so that's something worth checking out. Okay, so it's now 1 p.m. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind coming up. WBAI New York, WBAI.org on the web.
Hey everybody, Kev O'Donoghue with Julian Joy Ello and Ben Starr, back with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you some ideas, concepts, and guests, try and help you lead a more positively minded life. And you all loved our show yesterday, A Positively Minded Life, expressed through your fashion sense. Got a lot of emails, one from Sharona. Right, Sharona. Sharona says, I really enjoy my femininity. I've been called by some a black Doris Day. The only downside is that I appear, I guess, too high maintenance. So, thank you, Sharona. You can dress high maintenance, it seems. That's a phrase that's kind
of
new.
Yeah, right? It was great hearing from all of our listeners yesterday. A lot who had some really incredible individual fashion choices, from what we heard, at least. And it was really great to hear from those confident fashion seekers.
And many of you are interested in continuing this discussion on the link between appearance, dress, and how we feel about ourselves, and how the way we present ourselves physically to the world reveals really a lot about our personality and about our self-confidence and about how we feel about ourselves in general. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to continue this conversation. And thanks to everyone who gave us a call yesterday. We had some great callers, Kevin.
Terrific callers. A lot of enthusiasm. This topic really brings up an enthusiastic crowd. And, you know, we were thinking about how could we boil this down? You know, what is the issue about clothing? Well, one issue is choice. You get to choose every day how you want to present yourself to the world, how you can express yourself. This is one thing, that choosing what clothes you put on every day. But we went a little further, and we thought, from all the callers yesterday, I mean, all the callers were excited about how visible they are, how they dress in a way that makes them visible to the world. And I was thinking, you know, most people dress to stay invisible.
To blend in.
To blend in. To belong. It's a kind of way of belonging. You know, Ben has a jersey on today. Tell us about the jersey.
It's a soccer jersey.
It's a soccer jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting talking about sports jerseys. Just sort of how by wearing one and you go to a game or you go to a bar, you go to a place where there are other people wearing the same kind of jersey, you immediately become part of a group of people that love each other and are excited about the same thing and share something, which is what sort of the phenomenon of sports going.
Most definitely. You know, and we've talked about the psychology of being a sports fan and being a part of a group, right, where the entry for acceptance, the bar is actually quite low. As long as you profess that, you know, the same loyalty to the same team, you instantly have a group to be a part of and why that's attractive. But what about clothing? What do our clothes signal to other people? What are our clothes signal as far as what groups we are
and
part
just
of?
To make it real for people, I mean, if you dress like your boss, you're going to get noticed. The chances are, if you dress like your boss, you belong at the company. And you're going to get promoted faster. This is a research solution. I mean, they've found out these factors that if you...
Yeah, and through our research, too, we also found that runners are more likely to greet other runners who are wearing similar outfits or similar style of clothing, which makes sense, you know?
It sure does.
You run by another person, you say, hey, Adidas.
Yeah, right.
You know, what's going on? And
right.
You have that thing in common immediately, and then you sort of feel a kindred... you know, brotherhood or sisterhood with that person because just simply on the clothes they're wearing.
Yeah.
So it's an in-group thing that happens, right?
Yeah.
Where people have kind of self-selected themselves. For example, I know a man, and this isn't clothing related, but a friend of mine bought a Subaru and he loves this car. And he told me after he'd owned it for a few months, he said, it's the funniest thing, but when I'm driving around, other Subaru owners will wave at me. Like it's this sort of club, right?
Like it's a secret club.
Right. Yeah, and I think that clothing can signal certain things as well.
Yeah.
Right. It's appearance-based. It's easy to see. So you say, okay, we're both wearing green shirts. So maybe subconsciously there's a bit of a, we're both wearing green shirts. We have a similar choice in clothing. You know?
Right. And and we have a bond. You're approachable. And we probably think the same thoughts, possible.
And it's the first thing you see. So you meet somebody new and you say, well, first thing I see is their face and their clothes they're wearing.
Yeah.
And you can kind of make that subconscious snap judgment to
this person's safe.
Either feel comfortable because they're wearing the same jersey as you, and you go, well, you know what? We share that. I'm going to like this guy.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to like this guy because he likes the same team as me. You know?
That's right. I think the color red, you know, we had a caller yesterday who said she wears red to weddings even. You know, but I think the red is a bonding color, that people who wear red, it's a statement.
Right, and it tends to lead evolutionarily towards attraction between people, too. I mean, if a woman or a man is wearing red, it sort of tends to attract a mate during that mating time, you know?
And get this, guys, that color in clothing can also be an economic indicator.
Mm-hmm.
So during the last economic downturn, it was observed that there were much fewer people around the city wearing bright and aggressive colors.
Right. Very interesting.
People were wearing more muted white, black, and gray tones versus colorful tones. And a few years later, there was actually an article written about this in the New York Times about how people were starting to wear colorful clothes again. It was sort of an economic indicator.
Yeah.
People were feeling better. People were feeling...
More positive.
Yeah. ready to maybe feeling even riskier.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, you look at New York, you know, it can be beautiful and summery sometimes, then it can be, you know, 6 months of cold, dark winter. And there tend to be people wearing black and gray and, you know, all kinds of dark navy colors. But meanwhile, you go to Los Angeles and everybody's walking around in pink and white, pastel, orange, blue. It's all over the place because it's sunny and 75 degrees every day.
Miami is like that as well. Miami people are wearing turquoise and
it must be that there's a protectiveness of this dark color. You know, when you get depressed, you're sort of, you know, taking cover.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're wearing red and you're depressed, it's kind of like a contradiction because if you're wearing red, people want to come towards you. And when you're depressed, you don't want people to come towards you.
Right.
So you wear this dark color. And I think in the wintertime, you know, with the light less than usual, everybody's sort of like joining the club. You know, we're hunkering down for 4 or 5 months.
Right. Yeah, New Yorkers have been known to wear black. It's almost a stereotype that the New Yorkers will wear black all the time. And I have some interesting quotes on the notion of wearing black from some fashion designers here.
Sure.
A Japanese designer named Yoji Yamamoto said, Black is modest and arrogant at the same time. Wearing black says, I don't bother you, you don't bother me. Right? It's very New York.
And if you do bother me.
It is very very New York.
And another fashion designer, Christian Dior, pretty famous guy.
We know that guy.
Said, black is the most slimming of colors. It is the most flattering. You can wear black at any time. You can wear black at any age. You can wear it for almost any occasion. I could write a book about black. That was from Christian Dior.
Oh, I believe that.
So absolutely, tones and colors that we wear are
sending. I wonder if
there's
a color that makes you look younger, like blue or something. You know, black makes a statement. Black can make you look stylish. It can make you look slimmer.
Yeah.
You know, they're but I wonder if there's a color that makes you look younger.
Well, you know, I mean, when I see people with pastel colors on, it sort of tends to feel like they're more youthful. If not, maybe not younger per se, but subconsciously I'm going, yeah, this person is like more energetic, more upbeat, positive, you know, and that, and those are all traits of younger generations. So, you know.
Yeah. So today we wanted to focus again on this invisibility. Yesterday we talked about visibility. And today we want to talk about invisibility and blending in, as Ben says.
Yeah.
Do you dress in a way to blend in?
Are you trying to slip through the cracks?
Yes. Are you taking cover by your clothing? I mean, do you not want to be bothered? We did a show a few weeks ago on shyness. And we're trying to find tools. People love that show, and they come into the center, and they're asking about, how do I become less shy? You know, and I was thinking, one way, you know, is to practice doing little things. So little things like if you're shy, you could wear a color that would make you belong or make you feel like you belong. Or you could wear a jersey like Ben is wearing of a soccer, you know, soccer team. Do you feel, Ben, a connection to other people because you have on this jersey today?
No, it's more a connection to my family.
Oh.
Yeah.
They're all fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I feel there. But here we are. It's the very end of Fashion Week here in New York City, and that's not the reason we chose to discuss this, but you know, there is some serendipity there. And we want to hear from you if you're someone who really dresses in a way to sort of blend in, if you don't like to stand out. And this may be a challenge, right? Because if you're already trying to not stand out, well, it may be a tall order to ask you to pick up a phone and call into a live radio show and tell us why you don't want to stand out.
Right.
But we want to hear from you. 212-757-5555 is the number to call. You're listening to The Positive Mind here on WBAI. We're talking about clothing and appearance and what it says about you.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting when we talk about clothes that can make you feel invisible or, you know, I mean, I'm sure a lot of our callers that will be calling in about this, who feel like they blend in, potentially don't think about their clothing choices very often, because usually that is sort of a way to stand out and to meet other people and to show your individuality.
Sure.
But I feel like you know, the hoodie is like the uniform of the person who, I mean, all people wear hoodies and sweaters and all that kind of thing. But but the ability to have a hood to bring over if you want, to put your hands in your pockets, to feel, to sort of hide your body in a way, because it's sort of this mass of fabric.
Right.
It's the safe, comfortable, everyday clothing, you know, the hoodie.
Yeah, and you almost look like you're hiding when you're wearing a hoodie. I mean, if you see like gangs or young guys wearing these gray or green hoodies, you know, they can almost look like they're hiding. In a way. Or
well, I mean, when
cover.
You think about what a hood is, I mean, a hat or a hood is sort of a way to you know, cover the head. So it's, you know, but more what I'm talking about is the fact that it's a comfortable piece of clothing.
Yeah.
A comfortable piece of clothing that makes you feel comfortable. It's not like tight. You know, a lot of fashionable clothing can tend to be uncomfortable. You know, really nice shoes. You know, most women are like, yeah, I bring my shoes and then I have like comfortable shoes for later because my nice shoes don't feel good. And there's something about a hoodie that is very comfortable. You can wear it all day, every day, and perhaps, you know, wear it all the time.
I can't wait for the weather to cool off so I can get into my hoodies.
Pull out the hoodie. I love it.
I got a rotation of hoodies that I rotate throughout the fall and winter.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. And it's like simple. You can rep your university or you rep whatever you want, your sports team.
Yeah.
And you put it over whatever you'd like. You know, it's something about that comfortable clothing, I feel like, really fits in with the invisible or the blending. You know,
I see what you're saying. I think looser clothes is too, clothes also.
Yeah, potentially,
you know? So this idea of we're asking this because there's a theory here that you dress in a way as a way to avoid criticism. That you don't dress in a way to get attention necessarily. You dress in a way to avoid criticism. This is a psychological principle. There's a concept in psychology called introjection. Everybody knows projection, where you are attributing to the world or other people something that you're feeling. But introjection is when you take in something from somebody else and make it your own. Mm. So you introject the fashion sense, let's say, of your mother or your father or your parents,
right,
or your upbringing. And I think that this is the thing that makes people feel invisible, that they've chosen to wear certain clothes just to stay belonging to your family.
Right. They adopt the family's clothing choices, and when you go out together, you don't look like the black sheep. Instead, you feel like you're part of the family.
Yeah. Yeah, and even if you're not, you know, if you're in another state or far away, another country, wearing clothes. Ben, I mean, you're wearing family clothes today.
Yeah.
So you feeling more belonging today?
I guess so, yeah. I do.
Yeah, so we're asking about visibility, invisibility. I'm hoping we're getting this concept through. What do you think?
So essentially, you know, there are ways to stand out through our dress and appearances, and there are ways to not stand out. So someone who wants to stand out, they may show up to an event intentionally underdressed or intentionally overdressed. Their aim is not to fit or match the environment around them. Their aim is to pop. Their aim is to really
come and see me,
exceed and say, look at me. Either I'm wearing jeans and you're all in a three-piece suit, or I'm the fanciest dressed person here. You know, anywhere on that continuum.
Yeah.
But they're not dressing for the occasion or for the circumstance. Now, what we're asking is for those of you who try to use clothes as a way to really blend in and not be seen.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that? And what's the feeling behind that? Give us a call at 212-757-5555. We're going to be taking your calls sporadically throughout the hour. And we had a lot of great calls yesterday, Kevin.
Yeah.
A lot of exciting, energetic callers.
This is a little more daring because, you know, there are benefits of blending in. There are benefits to not standing out. You know, there are benefits to being invisible.
Yeah, I mean, also, for example, you know, for any of those who went to a Catholic school or a private school that requires a uniform, that's the point of the clothes.
That's
to fit in and to have everybody have a sort of disciplinary level and community.
Together. And we can focus now on the real thing why we're here.
Right. It's less about individualism and more about education or whatever.
Let's hear from a caller. We have Winston on the line. Hi, Winston.
Very good topic. Very good topic. In London, we have a habit of saying, most people here in America, you don't want to wear rightfully clothing because you don't want to keep yourself clean. So therefore, if you notice, it's black, gray, brown. That isn't tolerable. You just don't want to maintain yourself, so you don't wash as frequently. So the dark-colored clothing hides the dirt.
Dark color, yeah, right. If you're wearing a white shirt every day, it's very easy to slowly see it getting dirtier and dirtier, or, you know, and meanwhile you wear black or brown and you can kind of do whatever you want and you won't see any change.
Every day? No.
What do you wear, Winston, when you try to dress up?
I'm casual. I like vibrant colors.
Vibrant colors?
Yes. Winter or summer.
Uh-huh. Do you like purple?
Yes. Oh, yes, certainly. A yellow shirt with a black pants, something. I hate that dull. It's depressing colors.
Mm. So you stand out in all seasons.
Yeah, well, you know, if you go to London, you'll notice that we don't wear too much of a dark, dismal colors, even though it's cold.
Right.
You understand?
Do you want?
Constantly jeans and, you know, black, dark shirt, brown shirt, and you come next to some people, you can smell that odor of musk.
Right. Winston, we appreciate your call. Keep calling
Thanks
us.
So much.
All right.
Bye bye.
Thanks for sharing. So we have somebody who is more of a chill, clothing chooser, blending in, but very much appreciates vibrant colors.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's a dichotomy there, you know, potentially of saying, okay, well, I feel comfortable, but I want to wear this just because this helps me feel more comfortable. Actually, I mean, wearing black could make you stand out more, potentially. I mean, in
a lot
of ways.
212-757-5555. 212-757-5555. Do you dress to bring attention to yourself, or do you dress so nobody notices you? And what's the reason behind that? Why do you not want to be noticed? Are you afraid to be asked a question?
Let's hear from Nancy on the line. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks for calling.
Well, I think maybe the words blending in and standing out are, they're not right exactly. I think it's, first of all, it's about selling clothes. If we didn't have red, now these days red is the color that's being sold and that people are wearing. And if you don't
black,
wear red,
right?
You're not in style.
And black, Nancy, right?
Well, black is a New York color. It's a sign of sophistication.
Right.
And I wear, there's summer black and then there's winter black. I mean, it depends if they're with the trimming and so on.
Right.
But
what's the difference, Nancy, between summer and winter black?
I don't want to get hung up on that because I
sure.
don't think it's so important.
Right.
But I'd rather direct my comments to this. I think colors and style have to do with showing what group you belong to.
Yes.
If when I see someone wear white pants, white jeans in, and it's unconscious, but now that I think about it, and when I see someone wearing white jeans in winter, it bothers me.
Yes, you're not supposed to wear it after Labor Day.
Don't they get it? This
yeah,
is New
right.
York. You don't do that. So yeah. I think it's about class and group.
Sure.
And
sure. So what color what do you dress in to belong to? What kind of group do you belong to?
I wear dark colors, navy, hard to get navy. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
But I wear a lot of black because it combines so nicely with white and other colors. And
and you're immediately acceptable. A lot of people, everybody wears black.
Look, when I was a kid, I don't know where it comes from, certain exposure to maybe art and so on.
Sure.
But when I was 10, I was having a birthday party, and my mother was going to buy me a dress, and she wanted, she was an immigrant, and she wanted me to buy red and flowers, and I said, I saw this blue and white striped dress.
Wow.
And I said, that's what I want. And,
And did she get it for you?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Because, you know, a lot of parents will not buy their kids something that the kid wants. They want to buy their kids something that the parent wants. So, you know, a lot of parents are dressing up their kids to make their kids look acceptable. But listen, Nancy, you've called us before. We love getting calls from you. We have another caller on the line. Is that okay?
Nancy?
Hello? Thanks, Nancy. Be well. We'll talk to you
soon.
Hey,
you know, I wanted to – that's really interesting talking about colors. And actually, we did some research on colors and what kinds of clothing and different colors mean in fashion. And according to the Pantone Color Institute, there's a couple of things about different colors. Of course, red, we go, is the obvious choice for, you know, the date or the seduction. Blue is more for fighting stress and kind of finding tranquility. I mean, you can think, what other colors are blue? The ocean.
And the sky.
The two most inspiring, beautiful, tranquil nature colors, you know, yellow, orange, other kind of brighter, citrusy colors are good if you want to feel happier and more energetic.
Right.
And peach and rose apparently are good for making friends. They're softer and they kind of reach out and allow you to engage with people instead of being like aggressive, which red can feel a little more aggressive, a little more intense.
I could see Ben in a peach shirt.
Peach.
Yeah.
Peach.
I would approach you, Ben, if you wore peach.
Really?
Yeah. When you're wearing black, I like step back two steps.
Oh, and the last one, dark green, navy, charcoal, chocolate brown, all kind of darker, subdued colors are good, actually, options to command power, according to the Pantone
Is black is in there for power?
Yeah. Charcoal, so yeah. Okay. I mean, essentially black. Yeah, whether at a work meeting or trying to convince someone to see your side of the story, darkening any color always adds empowerment. Wow. Uh-huh. Interesting.
Let's hear from Marv. Marv is on the line. Thanks for giving us a call today.
Okay, I think bottom line for me is simply what I think looks well on me. I don't follow fashions. I still wear cuffs on my trousers. I'm an old guy.
Uh-huh.
So I still have suits that are they were custom made 30, 40 years ago, literally. Right. And I still wear them.
Mm.
I'm comfortable in them. Whatever I feel I'm comfortable and, quote, looks good is what I wear.
Yeah.
I don't follow fashion's trend. I do not wear jackets as much as I used to.
Yeah.
I used to not go out of the house without wearing one. I don't have to now.
Right.
I wear more like a golf jacket if it gets cool. I've even taken to wearing shirts over a T-shirt, wearing the shirt outside, more casual.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever I think looks good on me, and it isn't the color, it isn't the trend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Although I must say I wouldn't wear, although I'm slim, I wouldn't wear the new suits that are so tight fitting.
Yeah. But, you know, you wear these cuffs. I mean, so there's some kind of loyalty to the old days.
Well,
is there some of that?
They're very good suits. That's the loyalty. I'm cheap, so I don't want to buy a new suit. Would I wear a suit without cuffs? Not a suit, maybe a pair of slacks.
Okay.
You know, if I were to buy a new one, which I did buy last year, I know I needed some winter slacks. My old ones were literally worn through. And I was with a friend, and he said, you know, the slacks look good on you. I said, there are no cuffs. He said, it looks good on you. So I bought them. And that was the key. I mean, really, the key is what I feel looks good on me is what I wear.
Marv, thanks so much for the call.
Fantastic.
Our lines are lit
Fantastic.
Up, so we're going to try to get to a few
enjoy
more
your
calls.
Program.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
I appreciate that.
And that's kind of a bottom line, straightforward answer. It makes sense. You know,
I mean, I think everybody says I dress to be comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, and we're talking to the people who, you know, have a tendency to not try to be as flashy as perhaps maybe our listeners
mm-hmm.
yesterday who
mm-hmm.
were wonderful. And, you know, we had one woman who wears only 5 dresses, and she made them all herself. I mean, that's incredible.
Right.
You know, and so when you come to the other side of things, yeah, a person who's sort of hanging out just enjoys their own clothing. It's just, you know, keep it simple, keep it straightforward. I like this. It works on me.
We're still trying to,
though,
get to this idea of are you still trying to be invisible? Yes, you can be comfortable, but if you're wearing stuff that you used to wear 30 years ago, what is this thing? I mean, are you still that same person 30 years ago? You know, are you still dressing in a way that you dressed when you were young? I mean, what is we're trying to get a caller here to tell us, yes, I try to be invisible with my clothes. So
what do you feel sort of would be the outfit of someone who is trying to blend in more? Because I feel like for me the hoodie is a big one.
I think it's
comfortable jeans or straightforward sweatpants.
Right.
Simple, comfortable, straightforward. You can wear them every day.
Yeah. Really blending in. Easy.
Let's take another call. We have Emmanuel on the line. Hi, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
How are
you? I've run the cutting edge of observation in terms of what's going on in society right now. This thing about fashion, I've been observing it for quite some time, and I think there's an infantilization of fashion that's been happening, especially with men and men's suits.
What do you mean by infantilization? Can you explain that?
Infantilization meaning that there's a tightness to the fit of the suit. There's a small. You remember back in the 50s, they were talking about the gray flannel suit, and there was a room to the gray flannel suit. Now it's the blue suit. The blue suit with the Oxfords. With the orange Oxfords, it's almost like there's a velvetization. I don't know if there's that color that you're talking about. There's a blue suit that
Is this bothering you, Emmanuel? I'm trying to get your point.
It's bothering me. It's bothering me because I think that what you're talking about in terms of fashion, see, fashion and fascism, they go the same way. And because of fascism means binding, and fashion in the same way that we're talking about, that people want to be invisible, they can be invisible by looking like everybody else.
Exactly.
That's
a good point, Emmanuel.
On.
That's what we're trying to get to the heart of, is to understand why people want to do that.
Yeah. That's the heart of it. Yeah. And so I'm saying that there's a look now of like small suit, especially for men, that they're tight, small, with orange-colored brogues. They call them brogues. They're shoes that are orange-colored.
Okay, listen, you have my email, Kevin at The Positive Mind. Can you sort of tell me the name of this, Emmanuel, off the air and send me an email? I'm really curious about this. Thanks for calling.
Welcome. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, and also to all our listeners who want to send us any questions, especially on air, it actually would be fun to get. You can send us an email at positivemind@wbai.org.
Yeah.
Or you can send it to our name, Julian, Ben, or Kevin at thepositivemind.com if you want to make it a little more personal. Thank you so much for listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City and the iTunes Store. And we're going to be continuing for the next half hour on the subject of clothing and fashion and how it affects the people around us, in us, society, and the psychology of all this stuff. It's really interesting stuff.
Yep. We're going to take a short musical break, and we will be back right after this with more of your phone calls. Stay tuned.
Will you wear white, oh my dear, oh my dear? Will you wear white, Jenny Jenkins?
No, I won't wear white, for the color's too bright.
I'll buy me a folder roll, you kill the tall, we seek a double, use it, cause a roll to find me. Roll, Jenny Jenkins, roll. Will you wear green, oh my dear, will you wear green, Jenny Jenkins?
No, I won't wear green, it's a shame to be seen.
I'll buy me a folder, roll the chill, the taller, seek a double, use it, cause you roll to find me. Roll, Jenny Jenkins, roll. Will you wear blue, oh my dear, will you wear blue, Jenny Jenkins?
No, I won't wear blue, for the color's too true.
I'll buy me a folder, roller, tilde, tolly, seek a double, use it, cause you roll to find me. Roll, Jenny Jenkins, roll.
For I'd never get a fellow.
I buy me a folder, roll the chili, call the seek a double, use it, cause you roll to find me. Roll, Jenny Jenkins, roll. Will you wear brown, oh my dear, will you wear brown, Jenny Jenkins?
No, I won't wear brown, for I'd never get around.
I'll buy me a folder, roll the chili, call the seek a double, use it, cause you roll to find me. Beige, oh my dear, will you wear beige, Jenny Jenkins?
No, I won't wear beige, for it shows my age.
I'll buy me a folder, roll the chili, call it, seek a double, use it, cause it rolled to find me. Roll, Jenny Jenkins, roll.
Jerry Garcia and David Grisman with Jenny Jenkins, a little playful tune about colors for you today here on The Positive Mind, 99.5 FM WBAI. You are listening to listener-supported community radio, providing you a Pacifica state of mind. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue and Julian Joiello.
Hey
and
there.
We've been taking your calls regarding how your clothes can affect your mood. We've even received a few emails from those of you out there. We appreciate that very much. And we have a caller on the line right now. Let's see who we have. I think we have John. John, are you there?
Hello?
Yep. How you doing?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Hey,
thanks for calling, John.
Good, John.
It's good. It's great. It's Wednesday. Two more days until the work week's over for us, you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Hey, real quick, I just wanted to mention something about that, about, you know, the folklore of the white in Labor Day, right? So many moons ago, it was a sign of respect for the guys for the Navy ships, you know, because they used to come home and their outfits would change. They would change their uniform, and as the uniform changed, they come home, they come see their families or friends, come to the porch, and then before they go and depart back out to sea, their uniforms would change. And everybody would honor them and show their respect for them and not wear white because their uniform changed, so they would change their outfits. That was just a little story there for you.
Wow, thanks so much.
Thanks for sharing that.
Do you long for those days again, John?
Those days were here, those days, oh my God. The times will be a lot different, you know?
Yeah, John. Yeah. John, thanks for calling us. We have a bad connection, but keep calling us, okay?
Thank you so much, John.
It's a great observation.
Hey, and I wanted to talk in this second half hour a little more about the sort of interesting, weird ways that clothing affects how we're perceived or how we even subconsciously react to things in the world. I mean, again, I've spoken about as an actor, the costume will affect your acting and your ability to get into a role that perhaps is not your own. You know, when I play a high school student, even though I'm 24, mm-hmm. when I put on the flannel and the T-shirt and the Converse, I'm back in high school, you know. And so it's interesting. We were talking yesterday about some research we did about white doctors' coats and being those being worn, and then people taking mental acuity tests versus people wearing just street clothes off the street, and people wearing the white doctor's coat had a 50% increase in how well they did on this test, which is huge.
Sure.
And meanwhile, if you didn't call it a doctor's coat, you just call it a painter's coat, which is the same kind of coat, they lost that 50% increase. So it was all about what the coat was and what it represented, which is a high level of intelligence, a high level of mental acuity. Mm. And moving on from that, other kinds of weird ways that clothing will affect you. For example, it's there's been many studies done on just people wearing a Superman T-shirt will physically make you feel stronger.
Really?
Yeah, you'll actually feel physically stronger just because Superman is sort of a thing that is correlated between power confidence. Or, for example, this is kind of weird, but nobody's going to be taking a test in a bathing suit. But, for example, women that wear a bathing suit and take a test do worse on a math test than they will if they're wearing normal clothes. I'm not totally sure if that's just based on a weird, you know, I'm wearing a bathing suit while taking a test.
Changing the variable in the test.
Or just sort of seeing, you know, that these clothes are really affecting our subconscious intelligence and our ability to focus and stay intelligent. So it's very interesting how these clothing choices affect us subconsciously without us realizing.
I think that's a great idea. I think parents could, like, if you're taking the SAT, what do you think, Julian? If you're taking the SAT and you wear a button-down shirt and a tie.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not saying to wear a doctor's coat, perhaps.
Right.
when you're taking the SAT and you're 16 or 17 taking the SAT. But, I mean, perhaps, you know, not wearing some slummy kind of, you know, more comfortable whatever clothing. If you instead wear, you know, something a little nicer, something a little more formal, something a little more cohesive to an intelligent person, perhaps will make you feel more intelligent, more confident, and kind of just go for it.
We all know that, you know, dressing well makes us feel better. And you can actually dress older and you can feel better by dressing a certain way, or, you know, you can feel more competent if you're getting into a business or going on a job interview. Dressing the way that the company dresses can make you really blend into the role and maybe get the job.
Yeah.
We heard from a listener of ours out in the suburbs who said that she went to a store out in the suburbs wanted to buy black socks. And the store told her that they didn't have black socks. They only carried them at their Manhattan location.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Maybe we're in a little bit of a black clothing bubble here in Manhattan and in New York City in general. And other ways...
I bet that's true of a lot of kind of fashion items that wouldn't sell out in the suburbs but would sell here in Manhattan.
Right.
Certainly kinds of jewelry.
Right, and also probably the more esoteric kinds of clothing, more weird, standout kind of things.
Well, there are vintage stores in here in the city.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and not
absolutely
out in the suburbs, you know. So people want more choices. And
right.
Maybe out in the suburbs, Ben, that's a good idea because, you know, the image of the suburb is often these houses that are all the same.
So absolutely.
People are all dressing in the same kind of clothing to blend in.
Yeah.
So, you know, certain department stores won't sell a certain item because nobody in the neighborhood is going to buy it.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to stand out too much. It would be yeah, kind of strange.
Yeah. Those famous University of Michigan basketball teams that really made the black socks in the early 90s, right? Juwan Howard and Chris Webber and those guys. People hadn't worn black socks to that time. And these guys wore black socks, and it was a big deal. It was a very big deal.
Interesting. And going down the same path of sort of how clothing will affect you, and on the other side, in a non-beneficial way, dressing in a uniform associated with brutality unleashes aggressive behaviors. Really interesting. Hmm. So, you know, maybe if you're wearing a prison guard uniform or some kind of other uniform in which is sort of... Or maybe like a wife beater type tank top. You know, it tends to be more gruff and more masculine, more aggressive feeling, and it sort of leads to more aggressive behavior because you're saying, "I'm going to fill this role." And I guess our brain sort of goes, "Yeah, I'm going to fill this role. I'm going to step up to the plate that the clothing is set for me right now."
Gosh, we're so impressionable.
Yeah, you know,
we make judgments of people right away based on how they look. You know, whether it's conscious, I think it's more unconscious than conscious. But, you know, military, like epaulettes, people who wear these shoulder pads or things, you know, it makes them feel more powerful.
Right.
And I wonder, you know, does it bring out aggression? How about the color red lipstick? There's something that has, you know, a real effect on people.
Iconic. It's an iconic, attractive choice in not clothing, but I mean makeup and in appearance, and you know there's a history behind that for 100 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Behind red lipstick, very interesting stuff. And we're still taking callers 212-757-5555. Maybe give us a little hint of what you've experienced in clothing, in weird experiences with clothing, and how it's affected you, or just, you know, share with us how clothing affects your life or how you sort of express yourself with your clothing. I mean, clothing is constantly changing. We're doing throwbacks. Like now, everybody right now in 2017, the early 2000s is like really cool. So like everybody's going back away from, you know, slim cut jeans and back to sort of the old Levi's, you know.
Yeah.
It's interesting how this all changes and how it tends to, you know, for example, there's a very popular musician named Mac DeMarco. He's popular amongst a lot of the younger generation, and he wears essentially skate clothes from the early 2000s. So all of a sudden it's cool, wears slacker clothes, you know, some baggy jeans, an old shirt with a hole in it, and like a 90s polo jacket with a big puffy arm, you know, and that's cool now.
Let's hear from some more callers. We have Joe on the line. Hi, Joe.
Hi there.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
So let me tell you why I dress how I dress. First of all, I got to dress to the climate. I'm a technician and I work outside.
Right.
And that's in the summer and in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
But in the summer, I wear a white shirt. It's a collared shirt.
Uh-huh.
And that white shirt makes me feel more sophisticated in what I do as opposed to everybody else wearing their dark blue shirts.
And it gets you. Exactly. Does it get you more respect too?
Absolutely, because I'm dressed very neat. I wear light tan pants, a collared golf shirt. I have a logo on the sleeve.
Nice.
And you do get the respect. I'm an air conditioning technician.
Yeah.
So I work with my brain. But in the winter, you know, it's just the opposite. It has to be a black collared shirt. It has to have a nice white logo on it. The pants have to be neat, but they're a little heavier because they're lined. But it always has to be neat.
So you put your customers at ease. They can trust you when they see you dressed sort of cleanly and respectfully. Is that it, Joe?
Well, that is absolutely correct. Yeah. I look more like the boss.
Right, exactly. People will welcome somebody into their home who looks like that, you know, more so than if you show up with tattered clothes and, you know, you don't look put together. So,
absolutely.
Joe, we appreciate the call. This is what we're looking for. We're going to hang up and take other calls. We're asking
very
people
well.
How the way you dress affects you. 212-757-5555. You can educate us out here. You know, we don't have the answers. Tell our listeners, does this topic affect you? How does it reach you? What can you add to what we're saying here about how you make choices and how you present yourself to the world makes you feel and maybe makes other people feel. I don't know. When somebody dresses up to come to me or, you know, come to a party that I'm a part of, I kind of feel better. You know, I feel complimented and I feel more lively. This is the kind of thing that fashion, dressing, clothes can do. It can be a kind of gift to other people the way you put yourself together. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, I agree with you, Kevin. And I'm just struck thinking about Halloween. I can't help but think Halloween is coming up. And
yeah,
people are going to use that as a day to sort of just be somebody else and to let the costume. We talked a little bit about costumes and actors yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to wear a costume that sort of lets them get out of themselves and be something completely different.
Yeah.
Whether it's a character or, you know, a celebrity lookalike or a historical figure, whatever the case.
Yeah, and speaking with our caller, that was John.
Joe. That was Joe.
That was Joe, and he was talking sort of about a uniform that works for him for his work. It's sort of like in between, you know. It's like this. I need this for my work to give off a certain air. And inspired by findings that winning combat fighters in the 2004 Olympics had worn red more often than blue, some researchers actually investigated the physiological effects of wearing these colors. Okay,
right.
Stay with me here.
Okay,
as reported in February 2013 of the Journal of Sport and Exercise Psychology, they paired 28 male athletes of similar size and age who competed against each other once while wearing a red jersey and again while wearing blue. Compared with fighters in blue, those wearing red were able to lift heavier weights before the match and had higher heart rates, but they were not more likely to be victorious. The blues tended to win more often.
Really?
But the reds seemed to have more power, which is really interesting. And this is just... they tried both colors. They tried all with sort of equal physique. It, very, very interesting how these colors affect us.
Let's take a quick call. We have Tony on the line. Thanks for giving us a call today.
Yes. My comment is I have five grandsons, and one of them is telling me when he's in his class, he's in college, and he goes to his class wearing a button-down shirt, a long-sleeve shirt, almost like when you go to work. He says he finds that... his attention span is greater when he's dressed instead of wearing a sloppy T-shirt, you know, that has some kind of expression on it.
Wow.
And, you know, it's more conducive to learning, to paying attention. It's like going to work. And I, you know, when I'm retired now, but when I was working, we had, you know, casual Fridays because I worked in the corporate world. And then it got to the point where people... they didn't understand what casual Friday means, like business attire casual. They started wearing clothes like they were going to the beach. And they had to rescind the casual Friday because you know what has happened in this society? People have lost taste. They don't know what to wear when. And I'm an old timer.
Yeah.
And I see the sloppiness, you know, with the tattered jeans. It's one thing to have the threads, but big holes.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Right.
I don't.
And
I
sometimes
don't get
you
it.
Buy those as is. It's not. It's not even ripped
people
from
are
an
actually,
experience.
People are paying a premium to buy new jeans that are ripped.
Yeah.
One question and a comment, Tony. Does the other grandsons, are they dressing up going back to school also?
One is more casual, but not sloppy. You know what I mean?
Right.
Smart
and,
kids.
And some of the others. Always, you know what, three of them all went to a parochial high school. So when they went to college, they had that kind of...
discipline, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Right. And that's what we don't have anymore.
Yeah.
People come dressed any old way. And you know what, it's disheartening to me when I see this because it's a society of sloppiness. Mm. And you know what? I understand that Notre Dame College in Indiana was going to offer a course for the young women in the school on how to dress because they don't know what's appropriate. I mean, you see people going to places that, you know, you should have some kind of decorum or respect, and, and they don't have it anymore.
Right. Tony, we're going to take you off the air and make a comment. I wonder if, like, productivity goes down, like, on dress down Fridays or something. You know, I think, first of all, people casual clothes will end their workday sooner. I'm sure that that's part of the problem of casual Fridays.
Yeah, it's really interesting that idea of casual Friday. Probably it's nice for that's you know workplace team feeling and team building, but a little bit less for hard workingness at the end of the week.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, you know. There's something called the red sneakers effect, which is a really interesting study done a couple of years ago. And it has to do with, you know, we sit up to our expectations by, you know, let's say wearing, you know, nice clothes at a fundraiser dinner or something like that.
Right.
But if you actually wear a red bow tie or perhaps a pair of red sneakers, something kind of stands out from the norm, which would be black or blue suit, something like a tie. People actually see that more favorably because it's a way of showing uniqueness amongst a crowd of people who tend to all look the same.
Mm.
So it's a very interesting sort of thing where it favored power and sort of individuality by wearing just a small, different kind of piece of clothing along with what is socially accepted.
Very interesting.
Let's take another quick call. Cedric's on the line. Hi, Cedric.
Hi, how you doing? I'm a very interesting subject, especially in my life. I gotta tell you, I'm a DJ, and I do so many things. And I can tell you that clothing plays a very important part in everything
absolutely.
That I do.
Absolutely, you know? Especially as an artist. Yeah.
Yeah. When I was younger, I had to buy an outfit every weekend. You know, for every gig that I had. You understand? Now I'm in my 40s. I could care less what people think. You know what I mean? I don't go shopping for my gigs anymore.
Right.
It just doesn't bother me anymore, you know? And I realize that age also have a lot to do with how you dress, you know?
Right.
And how comfortable you are with yourself.
Yeah.
You see?
Exactly, and I bet as in your 40s now, I mean, you've probably gotten to a point where you say, you know, I know exactly what my style is and not really looking for it anymore.
Right.
I'm just confident in what I have and what I wear, and people probably appreciate that as an entertainer yourself, you know?
You know what? That ends up being your uniqueness, you know?
Exactly.
If you're not trying to follow the trend or the fashion, you cannot be an entertainer. People are supposed to be paying attention to you, and you're paying attention to other people. It doesn't work that way, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You have to be the one kind of like setting the trend, you know?
Yeah, and if you stick it through, you know, if let's say you, you know, the fashion trend goes from, you know, baggy jeans to skinny jeans a couple years ago, if you keep wearing the baggy jeans a couple years later, guess what? Guess what's cool?
Yep.
The baggy jeans are back.
Cool.
And you've been and you've been the one sticking to yourself and to your individuality all the way through. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for calling in. We're going to try to, I think, get one more caller before the end of our program today. But thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Cedric.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Take care.
Maybe one more call, 212-757-5555.
Yeah, thank you so much for all our callers today. Lots of really interesting stuff.
We didn't talk about the sexes so much, like the women and men. Like, men look at a woman's clothing, whereas women look at a man's eyes and face.
Well,
know?
I see a lot of women looking at other women's clothing, too, which is really interesting.
Huh.
I know a lot of my friends who are women get a lot of, like, up-and-down looks from other women, especially when they wear anything that's a little more exciting, a little more provocative.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily, you know, promiscuous clothing, but just clothing that,
right,
that tends
to
make an appearance, tends to stand out. Yeah.
So there's the idea. Dress sense is what men notice first, and visual body sense is what women notice first. In
Very
men.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Let's take another call. Megan's on the line. Hi, Megan.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Megan.
Good, thanks for calling.
Just a quick point. I'm in the animal health field, and I noticed when, I know Julian's talking about the white lab coat, when I was a tech in high school and college, a vet tech, the doctor would come in, do his usual protocol, and the people would usually be a little afraid to confront the doctor if they challenged him or disagreed with his protocol.
Right, because he's so professional.
And as soon as he would leave the room, here we are, the technicians, in our bright-colored, happy-colored scrubs with little frogs and dogs on them, and they just felt more at ease talking to us and maybe saying, look, we hear what the doctor's saying, but we don't want to go that route. And then since I've been out of the vet tech field and I'm more in my own animal healing business now, I started out at first carrying over that idea with the scrubs, the colorful scrubs that would make people at ease when I come into their homes and work with them one-on-one with them and their animals. But then I said, I don't feel so professional that way. So then I started to step up my wardrobe and, you know, more like black slacks, loafers, a nice dress shirt, and it just makes me feel more professional.
Absolutely.
And I think it kind of brings the information that we're talking about, you know, with the client and I, it seems to be more serious tone instead of colorful scrubs.
Yeah, they just will respect you more for what you're saying. You feel more professional and more confident, and on both sides, there's just a level of confidence and professionalism that comes out just from your clothing choice. It's so crazy.
Right.
It makes it easier too, Megan, right? I mean, it makes the interaction more professional, more efficient.
Exactly. Yeah, it does. Even if you're in the comfort of their own home, they seem to focus more on what you have to say as opposed to, not that they didn't take me seriously the other way, but I think it's my energy that I exude because I'm more confident. And
absolutely.
Before you go, when you look at a man, do you look at his eyes or do you look at his clothes?
Actually, I like hands. I like strong hands.
Oh, you look at the hands. Okay.
Yeah, the hands, the face.
Right.
The clothes are there, too, but I don't think that's the first.
So it's more about rings, then, and hand jewelry.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just
kidding.
Right. Strong hands, the masculine man with strong hands.
Yeah. And when you look at women, do you look at their fashion sense or do you look at their hands?
Yeah, because I'm always self-conscious. Yeah. You know, when I have my work stuff,
And it's always interesting to compare and see other people's choices, and you know, it's so crazy how much is happening subconsciously with this kind of stuff. You don't even think about it. And within seconds of meeting somebody, you've made a judgment on if their professionalism and their if they're in your in group or out group. You know, if you meet another person who's in animal health, you can tell pretty quickly if they're wearing something like what you wore in school or while you're working. So really, really interesting stuff. And thank you so much for calling in, Megan. We're actually going to be finishing up our program now, but thanks for calling in. Feel free to send us an email at positivemind@wbai.org or to our personal, semi-personal emails, kevin@thepositivemind.com, ben@thepositivemind.com, or julian@thepositivemind.com. Yes.
Right.
And you've been listening to The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City or on the iTunes Store podcasts for free every Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 p.m. And we've got a little bit of music coming in here. You can also, again, send us an email at positivemind@wbai.org.
Yep. Thanks again to everyone who called today. And, hey, Kevin, Julian, always great to be here working with you guys.
It's great.
Like Julian said, you can find us here Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 1 p.m. We'll be back with you next Tuesday. Thanks and take care.